So today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 42. The words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. A lorry driver stopped at a roadside cafe and ordered a cheeseburger. As he was about to eat it, a motorcycle gang pulled up. One of the gang members insulted him and ate his cheeseburger. The lorry driver silently got up and walked out of the cafe. A gang member laughed and sneered and said to the waitress, "He's not much of a man, is he?" She shrugged and said, "No. He's not much of a driver either. He's just backed his 18-wheeler lorry over 6 motorbikes. You've got to laugh, haven't you? I'm sure all of us have been taken advantage of or hurt or abused in some way or other over the years. Maybe we ourselves are the ones who have done the hurting or the bullying. But can I ask you a question? Have you ever fantasized about getting even? Seeing someone who has hurt you get what's coming to them? Or if you hear that something bad has happened to a person who has hurt you in the past, do you secretly feel good about it inside? If we're honest, we like the idea of revenge, of getting our own back when someone abuses us. We want them to pay, to feel what we feel. You see, there's something deep within the human psyche that demands justice be served when wrongs are committed. When we've been hurt, insulted, violated, mocked, injured, or falsely accused, we want revenge. Hollywood has produced a host of films from classics like True Grit to The Count of Monte Carlo to more recent films like Kill Bill and Taken. All stories of people who are driven by revenge. Revenge is sweet, or so they say. But seriously, have you ever got revenge and felt good about it? Revenge consumes the one seeking it, sometimes for years, and when they finally get it, they find it is empty and unfulfilling. As someone once said, if you're going to begin a journey of revenge, start by digging 2 graves, one for your enemy and one for yourself. Now, as Christ's disciples, we need to ask the question, is revenge really sweet? Is it really a dish best served cold, as they say? Well, what did Jesus have to say on the matter? In these verses that we just read, Jesus teaches us that we're not to respond to such evil with an unforgiving and vengeful attitude. We're not to seek revenge or claim our rights. He gives 4 examples of non-retaliation, all of which involve an individual's response to loss at the hands of another. His first example is loss of pride. Verse 39, he says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, according to Jewish rabbinic law, a backhanded slap to the right cheek was twice as insulting as the flat of the hand to the left. Now, this passage is not really about physical violence. It's about insults. Even today in the Middle East, a slap to the right cheek is regarded as a great insult indeed. Jesus himself was insulted many times, but he refused to respond in kind. He did not lash out when people mocked him, spat on him, and insulted him. How about us? When we feel attacked, when our pride is dented, how do we respond? Jesus reminds us the importance of non-retaliation, the importance of humbling ourselves, and even to offer the other cheek. Secondly, Jesus turns to the loss of possessions. In verse 40, he says, if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, losing a tunic, an inner garment, would have not been the most disastrous thing, as even the poorest man would have had more than one. But a cloak, that was different. That was extremely valuable and essential, as most people would have had just one. So what is Jesus trying to tell us there? I believe he's trying to tell us that everything that we have in life, whether we think it's essential or non-essential, we need to hold lightly. And we need to be prepared to give up even essential material things as well as non-essential items. Thirdly, Jesus gives us an example of loss of time. In verse 41, he says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. The Romans, as an occupying power, used to compel citizens to supply food or to carry baggage for them. So if a citizen felt the touch of a Roman spear on his shoulder, he knew he was about to be compelled to carry baggage for a mile or so. No matter what he was doing or involved in himself at that very moment, he couldn't argue his way out. It was under this system that Simon of Cyrene was compelled to carry Jesus' cross. Jesus' instruction to his disciples was this, that when that happens, not to argue, but in fact to offer to do even more, to go even further, even if it does put you out. Fourthly, Jesus gives an example of loss of money. Verse 42, he says, give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, taking care of the poor has always been high on God's agenda for his people. But Jesus goes even further. He said, it's about your attitude really as well, in particular to those who you know are never going to be able to pay you back. And even those people who probably irritate you because, you know, if they use their money a little bit more wisely, if they weren't foolish with it, if they weren't reckless with it, then you wouldn't have to keep bailing them out. You wouldn't have to keep helping them. And why should you, after you've worked really hard, keep helping them out? Jesus simply says, be generous. Now, I feel I need to clarify some important things here, because these are challenging words. But I want to say this, that choosing not to retaliate or to seek revenge, but to come in a different spirit, a spirit of grace and forgiveness when someone has caused us harm or discomfort, it is not an easy thing to do. We need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Secondly, we need to choose, when we choose to act like this, when we choose to forgive, and it is a choice, when we choose to forgive, we're not saying that what the person has done to us was right, or that it didn't hurt us, or that it didn't matter, or that we'll let them do it again. We're not saying that. Thirdly, we're also not endorsing or justifying sin when we choose to forgive and release people from their wrong behavior. You see, some people, some relationships are toxic, and we need to put the right boundaries in place, not just for our protection and well-being, but also for the long-term benefit of the person. To keep on enabling someone to continue to take drugs is not going to be helpful for them. Turning a blind eye to criminal activity or remaining in an abusive relationship is not a wise thing to do. In those instances, boundaries, even separation, is a necessary means to allow intervention, possible counseling, healing, and treatment to take place. So the heart of what Jesus is talking about in these verses is that when we're wronged and our response should not be to seek personal revenge or retribution, but to go above and beyond in love, grace, and generosity towards that person and to allow God to be the judge of all. Therefore, in closing, I would suggest this, that revenge is not a dish best served cold. It is a dish best not served at all.